This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Lions. John, you pointed this out. It's rather astute. The roster is largely set now.
Yeah.
They may make a move, and hey, Sedarius would make a lot of sense. But as they sit today, free agency is mostly done. The draft is all the way done. Are you more or less confident that this team can win the Super Bowl? And we want to throw that out to you guys as well. It's a time to take inventory post-draft. 248-539-9797.
Your answer?
I hate doing this because I'm going to be the bad guy. I think they're a Super Bowl contender, but I feel less confident than I did last year.
Okay.
And some of this is the obvious edge spot that's unaddressed. The draft itself was quality, but I think it was an extender draft more than it was a draft that made them considerably better.
Mm-hmm.
Tyleek Williams helps extend this without Aleem McNeil. Bringing in Ratledge helps you replace the loss of Zeitler. You just kind of stay in the course as one of the contenders. I don't think they got out in front and made themselves a more aggressive contender, so I feel less confident.
So they didn't directly address the edge. And this is where you get into some of the gray area. They only had Aiden Hutchinson for five games last year. And, I mean, who knows how many he plays this year. I do believe that he will be healthy and 100% before the regular season. So, indirectly, he'll be back in that edge position.
But with him, the last couple seasons, they have not had any production opposite him.
Not a lot of production, no, in terms of sacks. Their quarterback pressure rate, they were number 11 last year. And this is with Aiden Hutchinson only playing five games. So if he's back and he plays, I don't know, let's just say 15 of the 17. We would hope 17 of the 17. But if he plays 15 of the 17, wouldn't you expect that this team, instead of a quarterback pressure rate that would land them 11th, that they might actually be 6 or 7 with the full season of Aiden Hutchinson?
But potentially. I do want to push back a little bit, though. Pressures matter. Yeah. Sacks are the most important,
right?
Because the play
ends. Don't we also agree that they'll get more sacks with Aiden Hutchinson?
23rd in sacks last year. And again, I'll point out they have not had a true running mate for Aiden since that burst of James Houston in 2022. We're talking 3 years coming up on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a fair question if you're going to dethrone the greats in the game to not have a pass rush from both sides.
They've addressed the Aleem McNeil while he is out.
But that's breaking even, right?
At best.
Yeah.
At best.
And at best, a rookie replaces Zeitler. At best.
Well, yeah, but they have more depth, at least we believe more quality depth on that offensive line. So if Mahogany misses a game or two, insert Graham Glasgow. If Ratledge misses a game or two, insert Graham Glasgow. I think both of those guys, for where Graham is in his career, and I don't want to discount what he's been able to do. He's been very good, very productive. Last year was not his best year. And now you have two younger players that presumably will be healthier, that will be a little bit more resilient throughout the course of the season and not miss some games at the end due to, basically maintenance. And now you have Graham to be able to back up all three of those spots inside. You still have a Wusika, who we know is coming and played well. You've got Dan Skipper as your swing tackle. We don't know yet, and I'm not going to make any predictions about what Giovanni Manu will be. I would hope that at some point we see him as a reliable backup for one of those tackle spots. We'll see. But I think on the offensive line, it's actually a little bit of a net gain. Tim Patrick, second year of the offense, and you have Tesla in there to bolster the depth. What was the conversation going into the season last year? What are they doing at wide receiver three? That was the big part of the conversation. And another part of the conversation was, what are they doing with kicker? We had no idea what Jake Bates was going to be. Now, he's pretty good last year, and I think he'll be even a tick better, a little more confidence, a little bit more set in his position. And then defensively, a lot of the improvements are just going to be coming with, I do think DJ Reed is at least as good as Carlton Davis, maybe a bit of an upgrade. Amik Robertson, second year of this system. Tyrion Arnold, second year. We expect him to take a jump, and we expect at some point for Ennis Rakestraw to be a part of the conversation. I think there is, on the player side of things, and we haven't even talked about, we talked a little bit about the offense. I think there's a net minimal gain, but there is a gain from where they were at this point last year to where they are this year. Now, the biggest question, which I thought this was where you were going to attack me on this.
What?
Coordinators.
Yeah, but I didn't make a big deal about it at the time, so I don't want to come out now and try to force something that's not there. I think the offense will continue to be very good. Ben Johnson said that on the way out. He goes, this thing is built for it. They bring in Johnny Morton, who was on this staff previously. Yep. He'll put his own spin on it, but it's still Dan Campbell steering the ship, and Jared Goff is the quarterback, and this offensive line is there, and the tailbacks are there, and St. Brown and Laporta and J-Mo. I think the offense will continue to be very good. Maybe not number one, but one of the four or five best in the league. Defensively, I think that's a question.
Calvin Shepard's never been a play caller.
Yeah.
And he has, although we did learn that there were times throughout the course of the preseason that he was allowed to call some plays.
And I think the personnel is more of a question on that side of the ball, right? If you're working with better players on offense, I think that helps smooth the transition.
Yeah, but I also think on defense, I mean, you're going to get Malcolm Rodriguez back. You're getting Derek Barnes back. Alex Anzalone's there. And he may actually be the backup to Jack Campbell at this point, because Jack Campbell now going into year three, I expect him to take another step forward, and I thought he played really well last year. Brian Branch in year three, expect him to be better than in year two. Kirby Joseph, I don't know that Kirby Joseph can outproduce what he did last year leading the NFL, and some of the interceptions are opportunistic.
Yeah.
You know, the ball just kind of somewhat has to come your way. You have to obviously be in position to make those plays, and some of them were just him being good. But at Kirby Joseph, it's a wash, at least.
Few ticket texts that have already started to come in. Again, open lines on this. More or less confident, now that the roster is mostly set, more or less confident that they will win the Super Bowl. First text, I feel less confident because the Eagles got so much better. You have a puzzled look on your face.
Yeah.
They lost some dudes.
They lost some dudes, yeah.
They lost Milton Williams in the middle. They lost Sweat on the end.
Mm-hmm.
I like Jihad Campbell.
Darius Slay's not there anymore either.
Slay's gone, but they do have a couple nice corners that they can slot in.
The impact of not having a veteran around,
yeah,
you don't
know. I think
know.
That's significant.
Look, I think the Eagles offseason, because I was kind of looking at it when these texts came in just to refresh myself, it's been kind of neutral.
Yeah, so I think the Lions have been kind of neutral, right?
Yeah, and I think what happened at the end of last year is the Eagles were better than the Lions when the Lions were healthy. I do. To me, that's why
kind of impossible to judge that.
It's just my opinion. I think one of the things that happened late in the year, we talked about this when the Eagles won it, was just how dominating they were late in the season, and that especially that late regular season win at Baltimore. We probably overlooked that a little bit. I mean, they're just so strong in the trenches.
Yeah, I mean, the only offensive line that rivals Detroit's is Philly. Tech of Texture says, Cookie, your obsession with the edge is jading your views on the Lions. When the roster took the field last year before Hutch went down, were you not saying they could win it all? How did they get worse? I'm not saying they can't win it all, to be clear. Yeah. I think they're in the tier of, I don't know, what would you say, 3 to 5 teams that are best positioned to win the Super Bowl?
Sure.
Do I feel better than I did a year ago? No. Question for you guys. Draft is done. Roster's mostly set. Do you feel more or less confident that this team will win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, and I'd love to hear from our listeners as to why. Why is it you feel more confident this year, or why is it that you feel less confident than you did a year ago?
People are doing just that on the ticket text. Less confident because of Goff's 4-interception playoff game. The guy is still here, still the quarterback. He's also the guy that won 2 playoff games the year before and played well enough to win 3 the year before. Mm-hmm. He does come with some...
There's some baggage.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's positives, there's negatives, and I think... If this offense is going to operate the way it did last year, and as Ben Johnson mentioned, the train will stay on the tracks, it's in large part because of the upside of Jared Goff.
And they're reinforcing the trenches. They'll still run the football. They'll still play action pass. They'll do all the things you need to do to help Jared Goff be the most successful quarterback he can be. We are forgetting health will simply make this roster that much better in and of itself.
So that's a huge part of it, sure.
Did you also have to factor in that the schedule for 2025 is three times tougher? I feel less confident.
Okay, you can be confident that schedule will better prepare them for the playoffs, and their record might not be 15-2, could be 12-5. Thank you. Could be 11-6. Hell, it could be 10-7.
But you'd feel less confident knowing you got to win multiple road playoff games than getting all of it at home, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, going into the playoffs 2 years ago, you thought you were only going to have one playoff game.
Right, but it's an uphill climb.
Yeah. Sure, there's no question about it.
So signing up for an uphill climb would make you less confident.
By the way, the schedule game, the Eagles have a very hard schedule, too. They have to play a first place schedule, but they also have to play the AFC West, which is the gauntlet of coaches right now. Every coach has appeared in a Super Bowl and three have won it.
Yeah. So it's
a good point.
I mean, you can have a worse regular season record, but still be a better team. That's very possible and might be likely this year.
Well, that's what John in Lake Orion says. They are as much of a Super Bowl contender as they were last year. The problem is they won't go 15-2, so fans will freak out.
Well, that's going to be the easy take, is that they won't go 15-2. We don't know, and I'm reserving my schedule prediction until we actually hear what that schedule looks like.
A couple weeks away, 2 weeks from Thursday.
But the reason I think that has nothing to do with talent on the field, has nothing to do with health, it has nothing to do with who's calling the plays on either side. Every time I've been around any of these guys this offseason, and I've seen Sewell and I've seen Goff and saw Rodrigo last week for the draft, I've had a chance to be around them and some of the coaches as well. There's an edge to these guys. There was an edge coming off of the NFC Championship loss, and we heard it from Penei Sewell, and how much he watched that game and what that game did to him. There is an absolute edge to these guys about how this season ended against Washington at Ford Field. And I don't necessarily want to call it an embarrassment that is creating this edge, but just an unbelievable disappointment that they are feeling, a missed opportunity that they're feeling about both years. They know that there is a window. They know that they've had some great opportunities and have come up short. And there's an edge with, and we've heard Dan Campbell talk about how do you reset and get back to work. And I have all the confidence in the world that he's going to set that tone. He's already set that tone with the team. But that the leaders of this team that are now a year more advanced, Penei Sewell, who is what, fourth year?
He's a stud.
Going into his fifth year. Amon-Ra St. Brown, there's no one more driven than him, that it's going to permeate again throughout the rest of the team, and that edge is really what's going to is also what's telling me that this team is going to be more successful this year than they were last year. And it might not be a 15-2 regular season record.
Someone say edge.
Oh, geez,
I'm not going there yet.
You're such a dork.
But you walked me right into that. Ticket Texter says, hey, Cookies, maybe Chapman could play edge for the Lions this season. Him or Bregman, LOL. They'll add Za'Darius. They're going to be fine. They'll be headed back. I think Za'Darius makes a lot of sense, especially at this point. Texter says, for as dominant as the Eagles were, weren't they an incomplete pass away from being knocked out of the playoffs in the second round by the Rams at home?
Yeah, I mean, they also gave up 5 sacks in that game. That vaunted offensive line. Now, they found a way to win that game. In the snow, they did what they had to do, and obviously they went on to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but let's not downplay what the Eagles did. They won 15 of their last 16 games, one loss from early October till the end of the season. That only loss, their quarterback got hurt in that game. And in the playoffs, they won 3 of the 4 games by double digits, including the Super Bowl. They literally discoed their way through the playoffs and won the Super Bowl, and we said they had a neutral offseason. So I'm going to be very cautious to say the Lions are better. I think they held serve, and we're going to have a hell of a chase between the two of them, but I don't feel better or more confident knowing that they're still out there, and we did not get better.
I'm not saying right now that they're better than the Eagles.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying they're worse than the Eagles. We won't know until they actually face off. But what I'm saying is I believe that they're a better team. The Lions are a better team right now, more prepared for this upcoming season than they were last year.
How about another contender that may be making some moves that stand out? The Commanders upgrading their offensive line this offseason should be scary for the Lions. Tunsil and then a first round pick on an offensive tackle. Already couldn't get to him in the playoff. Mm-hmm. Are they reinforcing that so that he can be a problem for years to come? Yeah, looks like it.
No question they are. They're going to be a problem.
So if we think the Lions effectively held serve but are going to be healthy, the Eagles had a neutral offseason, but here come the Commanders, right?
Here come the Commanders. Here come the Vikings, the Packers, the Bears. Like, it's going to be a tougher division. We talk about the schedule, and yeah, I know that they're playing a first-place schedule. You're going to play all those other first-place teams, but it's also going to be tougher in division.
Let's get to Kevin and Warren. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I was listening here a couple minutes ago, and I had heard the infamous words, the window that they have to win, the window they have to win. I guess, you know what, Bill Belichick missed that memo about there being a window, because if I'm not mistaken, his window was probably 10 or 12 years, maybe more.
Yeah, it was more, 20 years, but there was a big gap in the middle as well.
Yeah, so anyways, there is, and I'm bullish on the Lions. I think they're going to be fantastic, and I'm just so happy that we've got this kind of team to root for after, you know, 50 years of futility. But, you know, there's things besides these 4 or 5 years that we're really going to try to be keep a winning attitude and go after championships year after year after year. So with the leadership we got between Dan Holmes, the Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell, I think the future is looking very bright. And I think our window is longer than people give us credit for.
I hope you're right. I think you're right as well. I think it's going to be a little bit longer.
But it is ridiculous to compare to the Patriots. They had this guy named Tom Brady at quarterback that tends to give you a second decade to compete. And you're right, John, they did have to pivot. The early Patriots teams were built on guys like Teddy Bruschi and Rodney Harrison and defense. And that window closed because it always does, because players have a shelf life. And then if you're really good at your job, and we think Holmes is, you'll reboot with a completely different group that'll have their own window. That's how this works. The idea that you're going to draft guys and they're going to spend 15 years together, all playing together, and you're going to chase 10 to 15 Super Bowls is fantasy land. It's fairy tale stuff.
And the difficult thing for all of those other teams that are trying to reboot is Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots did it with one quarterback, and he remained playing at a high level for two decades. I think Jared Goff's a very good quarterback. I don't know that he is going to be as good as he is now in 6 or 7 years. I don't even know that he's here in 6 or 7 years. And it's not a slight on Jared Goff. It's just
reality.
It's going to be another hurdle that New England in that 20-year run didn't have to face.